Go to our website at democracynow.org to watch all of our interviews with Isabel Allende. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Maté, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Daniel Begun, Anna Uzbek, and Sam Riddell. Mike DeFilippo and Miguel Noguera are engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Hugh Grant, Jessica Lee, David Prude, and Vesta Gadars, and our camera crew, John Randolph, Kieran Craig-Meadows, Carla DeJesus, and Phil Raymond. I'm Amy Goodman. Our website, democracynow.org.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for a public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Ta-da, here we are. Yes, it's another edition of the new WHFR Journal, local news and alternative views for Dearborn and the surrounding area. Today, our special guest is George DeRaney. Yes, he is our representative. His district is pretty much just Dearborn, a little bit of the surrounding area. It's the 15th district. He's been fighting the good fight for us for the last several months, and he's going to report on what's going on. It's not all done yet. So anyway, let's get him on mic here and find out. George DeRaney, say hello.
Hello, everyone.
Okay, we can hear you pretty good.
That's okay.
Great. I'm glad that the equipment is working here. Must be the holiday wishes we've had.
Be back, Jay. Thanks.
Right. Okay. What happened there? I just lost him. Okay. Yes. Well, yes, you've been here a couple times a year to give us updates on what's happening in the legislature. Right. By the way, congratulations. You won the election for this seat back in November.
Thank you very much.
It was, what the Republicans would call a mandate, because it was more than 4%.
Right.
Like the governor got 4%, and they called it a mandate for Republicanism.
Right.
In November. He got reelected, of course. But you got, I think it was about 70-30. You don't have to be humble here, but...
Yeah, about that, yep.
Yeah, so...
I'm very happy that...
Congratulations. Although we have to admit it's because of the gerrymandering, which was done by the Republicans, mm-hmm. that this district pretty much has a lot of Democratic voters. They looked at the guidelines and the boundaries, and of course they said, well, we're going to lose a few districts to the Democrats, but if we can just... You know, split up these districts down some alleyways, going 30 miles, you know, with 50 feet across
right.
or something.
Right,
We can get a slight majority for Republicans, even though in the state of Michigan, basically there's more Democratic votes, and certainly along with independent votes than Republican votes.
Right.
Yeah. So anyway, congratulations. This
Thank
is your
you.
Third term coming up.
Third and final term.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you want to vote for term limits, or have you getting rid of term limits, or
Well, you know,
have you had enough?
You talk. No, I haven't had enough. I really enjoy my job, but it's a debatable subject. Obviously, the people of Michigan voted for term limits back in 92, I think it was, but there's been a sentiment now out there that says people should have the right to choose who they want to serve them. So, and I agree with that. That if I'm doing a bad job, vote me out. If I'm doing a great job. Keep me there.
What would it take, actually, to get term limits repealed? I mean, wouldn't it take a vote of the people, though?
Well, 2/3 of the House and 2/3 of the Senate would have to put it on a ballot, and then the people would vote on it, yes.
But in fact, since about 30%, I understand, of the legislature, the House and the Senate, are going to be newbies in January, from what I understand, because of term limits, but also because of election results.
Right.
The newbies don't necessarily... want that to happen to them.
Right, you know? Exactly.
I mean, a few of the people like yourself who finally got an idea of how it all works. This is what Gary Warinchuk told me in his third term as representative, the same position years ago when he was Republican.
That's right.
He said this at the end of his third term, I'm just starting to figure out how it all works.
Right.
You know, and how to be his own person and not quite so dependent on the lobbyist's points of view or even the party's point of view because he knows what needs to be done when to make things happen. So,
well, that's a good point. The lobbyists do have the institutional knowledge there. I mean, because they've been there 10, 15, 20, 25 years. And whenever you need an opinion or a point of view, you go to the lobbyists because they've been there and they've been through it.
However, they're always biased.
Oh, of course.
For who they're lobbying
for.
Yeah,
they've got special interests in mind.
Right.
Exactly.
And how many points of view do you have time to actually research on some of these issues? In fact, many issues have many different points of view.
That's right.
And so you can't possibly go down the list and have every lobbyist come in and say, now, how do you feel about environmental protection? You know, because they all probably have sort of some connection to it,
well,
since we all have a connection to it,
right.
Really.
I'm blessed by having, and how you combat that, I'm blessed by having an excellent staff. I have a gentleman by the name of Bill Drake that's actually been in Lansing working for legislators for 20, 25 years now. And Lori Dye, my other person that works in the office for me, she worked in Grant Holmes administration. She worked in the Capitol under the floor leader. So I've got a wealth of expertise in my office, which really helps me out quite a bit.
Which makes them the power brokers, sort of.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, and I've always said that in a lot of big businesses, it's the support staff, especially the secretaries,
yeah.
that really know how things need to be gotten done. I mean, yes. They know how to facilitate it, and therefore the timeliness of their action and
That's
the
right.
way they act is actually what makes things happen. And of course, everybody plays a part,
right.
Including your office staff. And I'm sure no one does anything without your approving it. Or
right.
Boy, better
of
not,
course.
Right?
Of course. But I mean, having, you know, they not only know the department to go to, they know the person to go to, and more times than not, they know their phone numbers off the top of their head. So it really, like you said, expedites the whole process of getting things done.
Right. Yeah. Well, so I just don't think that people are willing to vote against term limits. It does seem to be a very populist sort of thing, you know, and especially with the general opinion of legislators. No disrespect here, talking to George Durrani, our representative from Dearborn to Lansing, Michigan, of course. Public doesn't have much respect for, certainly U.S. Congress, and probably to maybe a lesser extent to the Michigan legislature when things seem to be gridlocked.
Right.
You know, and it's hard. So one way to counter that is people don't even have to vote. They know every third term that at least the House of Representatives people are out.
Right.
Is it every two terms in the Senate?
Yeah, 2 4-year terms.
2 4-year terms. They're a little bit longer. But
right.
So the people that really don't like anything or have any belief in the legislature, they think term limits are a great thing.
Yeah,
they great
can,
deal because they don't have to vote and always think, well, some of these politicians, and they use it sparingly, of course, in mm-hmm. that way, are going to be out anyway. So
right.
None of them can get a vested interest. Except your office staff has a vested interest.
Well, I mean, and there's a possibility, as you know, most of the senators that are there now came from the House. So you can serve 6 years in the House and
right.
then move
yes.
on and serve 8 years in the Senate for a total of 14.
Is it too early to ask you about whether or not you might do that?
Yeah, maybe yeah. a little bit early. Yeah. Because then our state Senator Morris Hood just got reelected, and so he's got 4 years to go.
Okay.
So
okay.
Wasn't
he already there once?
He was on.
But he's got 4 years until. So there's going to be a little gap there.
2 year gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every
time I get
you
out.
You can think about stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or maybe return to the city council where you serve successfully.
Sure.
Yeah. That's always a fun job.
Yeah. any type of city opportunity that might arise. You know, we don't know how long Mayor O'Reilly's going to be there.
Or, you've been a great public servant for almost over a decade now with the city council. And
eight years total.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you know how a lot of these things happen. And so you've got the experience. And so we hope you can stay active and hope we survive the next 2 years and
yes.
2.5 years,
right.
2 years and 1 month.
Right.
Things are still happening. I was surprised you were able to schedule for today because is everybody taking the day off of there in Lansing? Often it's really only a 4-day work week in Lansing. Right,
right, Right. Well, this and today, all the leaders are meeting, the quadrant, which are the leaders in the House and the leaders in the Senate are meeting with the governor to discuss road funding. And obviously, that's the number one issue that we're hoping to get done in right. our final week next week.
Okay. Let's talk about the lame duck issue, and then we'll go right to the road funding issue here. Okay. Lame duck means that a number of the people are not going to be coming back in January, and therefore, the people that are there now might have a chance to pass something since, well, first of all, it's not just a matter of the percentage. True, there'll be a few more Republicans there mm-hmm. in January, both in the House and the Senate. Mm-hmm. But that's the real issue is maybe some people now, since they're not returning, they might actually want to vote their conscience. I mean, seriously, they might have some, you know, real personal ethical issues, and the lobbyists can't come and get them so much unless they've got a job set up after they leave with the lobbyist. But I mean, that maybe it frees up some of the political bickering. This is the only advantage I can see to lame duck sessions until the new people come in, that maybe things can be passed. I don't know what the feeling there is on the floor. I have a list here in front of me, and I showed it to you. There's at least 20 different issues that have been talked about in the news media one way or the other, and I know they're all in different stages of discussion in Lansing. Some are still being debated but are out of committee. Well, some are stuck in committee, I guess. Some are being debated informally or maybe in those sessions today with the governor even, because it's always a question. Should we go to a lot of trouble to pass this and he doesn't sign it?
Right. If he doesn't like it, he can veto it and it's all that work for
maybe
for
they
that.
Could get one of the other two dozen things passed here, you know, exactly. that he might like or change their approach to it. One would think the Republicans especially would see the governor as their leader and try to help him get his agenda established. But that hasn't happened the last couple of years for fixing the roads, which was also a Democratic right. priority, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So just to finish my little how's a bill become a law, I'm not going to sing the song. Yeah, don't worry. Some of these have been passed by the House and sent to the Senate. Senate hasn't taken action yet. Some has been passed by both and sent to the governor, but I think there's very few. So you mentioned it already, so that's a great lead-in here. On radio, we do these transitions that however they come up so people don't lose their thoughts. Fixing the roads.
Yes.
I see two proposals, and the governor likes the one where they just raise the taxes on the sale of gas at the pump. Mm-hmm. That's what he's proposed before. But that didn't get passed by the House. Am I correct in that? The House passed a bill that, in fact, would lower the price of gas at the pump, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And then, as the governor even said, all other people said, no, he didn't look at the details. But the governor said that proposal that the House passed, did you support it?
No.
Okay. Well, you agreed with the governor then, see?
Well,
that's strange. But
seriously, all the Democrats voted no on that.
Right. Okay. Explain why the governor didn't like it and the Democrats didn't like it either. And yet, that's the bill for fixing the roads that at least got past the House so far.
Right. It passed on party lines 56 to 53. You know, you need 56 in order for it to pass, so it
very
passed
close.
By the slimmest of margins.
Yeah.
And the reason why the Democrats are pretty much against it is because it takes money away from schools and municipalities. I mean, the 6% sales tax that is applied to the gasoline tax, a portion of that sales tax goes towards schools and our municipalities, and we don't think that we should be creating a hole in order to get people to vote for this proposal.
And as a politician, in trying to explain these things, especially on the radio, you don't have a lot of time, although we're giving you the whole hour, but I think I only said a half an hour. You probably have someplace you got to be elsewhere too today. But in fact, there's some details in the plan that were passed that said something about, in the future, if the schools are in trouble, there would automatically be a 6% tax kicked back in or something on
right.
gas.
Right.
But that seems crazy, because guess what? If there's inaction in the legislature and or the economy goes down, that's going to kick in anyway.
Exactly.
So it's just, and so I have a, in front of me, I've got an editorial by Jack Spencer of MLive. He's their conservative, very conservative editorialist. Mm-hmm. And he says, oh, the governor's wrong. You know, That road funding package, that won't hurt the schools. It sure, according to the governor, it sure can mess up things in terms of, because schools need consistent funding, as you probably know. I mean, I know from being part of this school, is we need funding we can count on, too, and certainly after funding has been approved for a certain year, we don't want it reduced all of a sudden in that year, and that's happened in the past in Michigan history, I know.
Our analysis shows that in the first year of that plan, that schools would lose about $65 million, but in fiscal year 2022, when the plan is fully phased in, schools would lose about $900 million per year, and that's according to our House Fiscal Agency, they're a non-biased group, and that's what they came up with.
It's like the GAO in Congress, which Republicans are saying is biased to the Democrats, but they're supposedly independent accountants.
Yes.
They look at all the factors and add it up.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. And I think even Snyder, about the bill that was just passed to fix the roads by the House that we're talking about here, he said, too, the money won't kick in fast enough to fix the roads.
2016 would be the first year, January of 2016. So nothing for roads in the first year at all.
Now, just attached to the same MLive article that I just mentioned by Jack Spencer, they put a picture of a bad road needing repair. It's obviously in somebody's subdivision somewhere in Michigan.
Okay.
But looking at my road, my residential road here in Dearborn, it's much worse. Now, first of all, this is fixing the roads at the state level, roads.
So state roads only. Yeah.
So these residential roads like this one they put in MLive, that's not going to be fixed by this fix anyway.
Absolutely
it's up to the
not.
Cities to worry about that cost.
Right, and then there's, of course, county roads, too.
Right, some of them are county, which, I don't know, is Michigan Avenue county?
No, that's state? A state.
That's state. Well, yeah. And so I know the city of Dearborn has got some issues about repairing residential streets. A few of them they're repairing by ripping them to bits and putting in the new sewer overflow project, which is also improving the sewers in that area. It's not just the overflow, but they're actually, because the infrastructure is very old in Dearborn, they had to do that.
Yeah, it helps at the same time fixing the roads and the sidewalks, getting that all done at the same time. It's a hassle for the people that, of course, live in those neighborhoods.
It's not really, even when that project gets done in maybe 10 more years, it's not going to do all the roads. It's certainly not going to do the little cul-de-sac that I'm on. I know, because that's just a little short. Only 8 houses on it, you know, but we need that thing. It's all crumbled asphalt. Terrible. But anyway, okay. So is there any hope here? So maybe today's negotiation will particularly be about that, since Fix the Roads was a big priority of Snyder when he took office last time.
Well, you know, they asked Speaker Bulger that question, I think yesterday, if you had to grade it 1 through 10, 10 being the most likely that it's going to happen, what would you say? And Bulger said an 8, because I'm very optimistic that we'll get the roads thing done. Now, they also asked Grimal, the minority leader, and he pegged it at 6. But I think there's a chance.
In a way, the House has already said how they want to do it. If they now the Senate has passed a proposal, or at least the Senate majority leader is the Republican there. He's pretty much in favor of the plan that Governor Snyder wants, which is the extra tax on the gasoline.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And what do you think of that? I mean, I know that environmental groups, which I've always thought were on the right track in terms of trying to save the world, priority, make the air and water clean and the food and so on. If we do raise the cost of gasoline, it will encourage people maybe short term, not to buy cars so much, or maybe encourage those that can afford it to buy a newer car and get better gas economy.
Right.
Try to make all the manufacturers' businesses get a lot more efficient with the use of gasoline or encouraging electric-powered hybrid cars. The disadvantage, of course, the people that just can't afford the gasoline now, hardly.
Right.
And then the price goes up.
Well, there's also a third bill that talks about registration fees too.
Oh,
so that's also in the mix. The consensus is that all three of those bills will go into a consensus committee, and they'll haggle it out to see exactly which bills or which parts of which bills are going to eventually come out in.
Well,
I know some
compromises. National, state, when people really can't decide what's the best way to do things, they do a little bit of all those things.
That's right. Yep.
And that doesn't necessarily work real well if one of those ways is clearly superior and needs full funding. I mean, well, I'm just saying it's hard to tell.
Even the Senate bill, it would only raise roughly $150 million in the first year,
right.
2015. And the governor's already said we need about $1 billion a year for the next 10 years.
$1 billion too, yeah.
Yeah, just to get our roads back in order. And so it wouldn't really add a whole lot of money into the pot for roads as much as they think it's going to. And also, I'm concerned about not having a price ceiling, because there is an opportunity, or there is that chance that price of fuel will go down. And all of these figures that they're using now are based on our fuel prices going up. Now, we know what happened with Proposal A years ago when they thought property values were just going to go up, 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 and up to help fund the schools and help fund municipalities. And when the crash came down in the recession, you know where our schools and the municipalities are today, because we were depending on Proposal A. I'm proposing, and I talked to our leader about this, about at least putting a cap in. So if the price, the wholesale price of fuel goes down, then there'd be a mechanism to kick in to make sure that we have the amount that we need for the roads.
Yeah, and that makes good sense. Although I think people should know and not be misled that as prices go down on oil, oil is, yes, for a number of reasons, is going down in price right now. But there's a limited supply, even of shale oil, where a lot of it's coming from. I mean, the U.S. is a big producer, I think second biggest producer of oil in the world right now.
We're catching up to OPEC. We are.
Because of the shale stuff, which is more expensive to get, and it's going to run out too. It's not forever. So, not to mention the cost of the pollution that comes from just burning gasoline or oil anywhere. And we got to pay for that in terms of health cost I don't know, filters on our air conditioning system, whatever, you know. There's going to be other costs down the road unless we switch here somehow. But I hope something is done. I know you're on top of it. We're talking here on the Journal today, folks, with Representative George DeRaney, 15th District Democrat. He pretty much represents all of Dearborn.
Yep.
And a little bit of what? Dearborn Heights or Detroit? Or there's a little smidgen of something.
Well, there's a little smidgen of Dearborn that I don't have.
Oh, no, really?
But I've got 95%. My district is 95% Dearborn, and that's it.
Only must be the Republicans living in that little smidgen.
Well,
they were gerrymandered out.
Because Detroit lost so much population, a little bit of the Detroit district came in and grabbed some of Dearborn.
Basically, there you go. Okay. Yeah. So, you've got a number of updates there, and I'm sure some of your topics are better than mine.
No.
So let's go down. Well, no particular point here. The Senate office, the Senate up there, and you're not in the Senate, you're in the House, I know, but
yeah.
The Senate has voted themselves a new office building to be constructed. Have you been in the old Senate office building?
Yeah.
Is it terrible shape? Or
It is in pretty bad shape. They really haven't done any updates in that building in a long, long time. It's not as modern as the House building that was built, I think, in 1999, and it's energy efficient. It's lead approved. You know, it's got a lot of ecological attributes to that.
Do you have grass on the roof or no?
Not quite the grass on the roof,
okay.
No.
Too bad.
But actually, they're not building a new building. You'd just be moving to a newer building.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the newer building is pretty much right across the street from the Capitol. And
it's already there.
It's already there.
Oh, it's just has to be renovated.
Yeah, an office building that just needs to be renovated. But still at a tune of roughly $70 million.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of pricey. But, I mean, there's not that many senators, are there? 50, 60?
38.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's going to come to the House maybe, right? Because it's got to be voted on by both.
Right.
I mean,
it's
they just can't vote themselves a new office building.
It's, we don't think we'll see that in lame duck. It hasn't been brought up to us. So
$70 million. Jeez.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Reducing maximum truck weights was a topic. That lost. That's gone. That's not going to happen, or is it?
That was a Senate bill that would have reduced it from 164,000 pounds max to an 80,000 pound max, which is what the national average is. I think we may be one of two states that don't have that 80,000 pound limit. I've got a bill in that never saw the light of day that would have lowered it to 120, a compromise between the 160 and the 80, but that didn't happen either. So,
and of course, if the truck weights go down, there might be more trucks, but in fact, it's the weight per truck that would destroy the roads more quickly, right?
That's a theory that's been debated for the longest time now. I've read many, many studies about that, and some folks say that It's not the weight of the trucks. It's the amount of axles on that truck that's holding the weight. So if there's more axles,
then it'll spread the weight out more
evenly. So they're saying that the trucks don't have that much. The weight of the trucks don't have that much.
What was the other thing? And it had to do with is it a matter of fees or something? Ohio and other states impose on trucks. It was supposed to be a great answer to fixing the roads. Is it just that? It's just the weight issue.
But the weight issue and the fines as well, because right now it's pretty much been a slap on the wrist if you go overweight on the truck.
There was
talk about raising the fees of overweight trucks, too, to help raise revenue for the road.
At least to be comparable to the to the states around us, because, you know, I mean.
There's a lot of different reasons why people think our roads are in the shape that they're in.
But you don't think that's going to get to the House. Well, it lost in the Senate.
It lost in the Senate. Yeah, it'll have to be brought up again next year.
Moving right along. I think this already passed the House. Basically, it was trying to help the schools, and this is the quote from the bill, in the midst of rapidly declining financial circumstances. Now, it's sort of like the takeover of schools, giving them an emergency manager, but it seems like that they're trying to redefine it in ways that are even, well, less definable. In other words, you know, you lost that millage, so we're going to take over your school district, even though you got plenty of money and you could even have a couple more millages, but we're going to take it over now. I mean, you know, this quick takeover of that one part about that is troublesome to me, and I don't know if that's part of another bill or by itself. What do you know about the making school takeovers in terms of financial difficulty more easy to do?
Yeah, well, that was something that was brought up when they took over the Inkster School District not too long ago, when the state came in and just said, you know, you guys have not done a great job. We're going to split up the district and divide it up into other school districts. So I think Romulus got a part of Inkster, Westland Schools, maybe Taylor Schools. They broke it up. But we thought that the state acted too quickly in their decision.
I've never heard of that.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't hear of that, but I've never heard of, because of financial mismanagement, they'd split the district up with two other districts nearby.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Right. Right, and it happened up in the Saginaw area, also in another school district. So we're trying to put in laws into effect so that can't happen as easily as it did.
And related to this is the Education Authority Act (EEA), which according to all the stories I have here and the big expose done by the Metro Times and the Detroit Free Press, it hasn't worked.
Right.
Very well at all in Detroit, and the studies show it's doing worse than in Detroit than public school students still in Detroit public schools.
Right.
But that looks like that expansion of powers for EAA is not going to happen right now.
Well, we voted it out. It was pretty much
it was passed by the House.
Passed by the House, but it hasn't done anything in the Senate. They've got 3 days. To see if they want to try to bring
Senate
that up.
Senate still has until January a few more Democrats in terms of percentage than they will in January. So maybe that's one way they
Well, they the might Senate wait. Has actually one more.
Well, okay, just one. What happened? This is the end of a session. Okay. But in January, any bill that's out of the House, does it have to be started again in January?
Yes.
Oh, I see. So they all die, sort of.
They all die.
Okay. So if the Senate hasn't acted on that, then the House would have to start it, or the Senate would have to start it again in January.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
But they might have a better shot at passing it because there's four more Republicans in the House and one more Republican in the Senate.
I know. Yeah. What Democratic position on that? Your position on the EAA?
Oh, absolutely no. Yeah. No.
I think the facts speak for themselves about that, not to mention just the easy takeover problem, which I think was a separate issue.
Yeah, it would expand that to the 5% of the lowest achieving schools in the state would automatically go into the EAA. And what's strange about that is every year you're always going to have the lowest 5%.
All right, right.
You know,
so eventually they'll all be in there somehow.
Exactly.
And Detroit, how many years is still under the emergency financial manager for the schools?
Right.
It seems like it's been 8 years, more, 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
it's been a long time.
Yeah,
right.
Okay. And you deal with big and small issues. Some of the small ones are very important. Things you can get past, things you actually find some shared interest in. Mandate hepatitis disclosure. Mm-hmm. Right. That passed.
Right. That passed, geez, I think that was about 2 or 3 months ago.
Now, that's to a partner. But my question is, okay, so you have hepatitis, and you have a partner that you're having intimate relations with. By law, once it gets signed by the governor, I assume it's not signed by the governor yet.
Well, it passed in the House. It hasn't passed.
It hasn't gone to Senate, so it might die. Okay, but
you're talking about my bill?
No. Is your bill the hepatitis bill?
No, okay. I've got another partner
anti-hepatitis?
Bill.
Anti-hepatitis? Okay, you're not another partner bill. Okay, yeah. Let's wait on that. Okay. Get to that next thing. Well, my question, though, is if they don't disclose it to their partner and the partner gets hepatitis and then takes them to court or something, and it can be a felony offense, because hepatitis is a serious disease, of course, and you can transmit it more, too, if you're not careful. But
right.
What are you going to do with the person that didn't tell you? Throw him in jail? He's got hepatitis.
Right.
You're going to put him in jail for three? Is what, felony is usually 3 years minimum or something? I mean, that doesn't seem so. You know, there's a lot of these issues that are moral, ethical, or even health issues where the judicial system doesn't seem to be the right answer. I mean, you want to take a vote that you're against it.
Right.
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 But to make somebody guilty of a felony, well, of course, it's against the law to try to commit suicide.
Well, that's, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the state is supposedly against suicide for any reason. And I understand that it's crazy, but if you succeed at it, you don't go to jail. Okay.
Right.
And no charges pressed. But in fact, what's going to happen is that those people are not going to be sent to jail for trying to commit suicide, those that don't succeed, but the judge will assign them to get psychological counseling,
mm-hmm.
get some help, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not bad, probably, at least many counselors are good.
Right.
I have my personal feelings. Okay. Remember, all opinions on the show are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford College. And by the way, I see the phone is ringing off the hook. People want to talk to you, George.
Oh, no.
Not my show. I don't have a screener. We don't have the technology. Can't answer the phone right now. Of course, it could be a robocall trying to sell us on vacation in Florida, which I probably should take. But no, we're not going to do that. We're going to be here all through the winter, folks, and with the journal every Friday, believe it or not. I hope you get good time with family and all that. Moving on. 4 a.m. liquor licenses.
Yeah.
So that is just for, and there's some details, just for some of the bigger places in Detroit, I say bigger sellers of alcohol, public taverns, because they have to pay $10,000 for that right.
Right. And it's only in the downtown districts. So it couldn't be like whatever a mom and pop shop.
Somebody draw the lines on what downtown is?
Well, it has to be in a downtown development district.
Oh, like we have DDD.
A DDA or a DDA.
Whatever, yeah. DDA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to be in those districts, so okay. It couldn't be just any place.
So it might not be Midtown. Is that a DDA? The so-called Midtown around Wayne State
I
and
think
the
it
fine,
is.
And fine
think
arts it, area?
Yes, yeah.
That's why so many people are building it. Boy, is that real? I haven't been. I got my last degree from Wayne State, and I just was down there in the Wayne State area. Wow, all the little condos and buildings and like the Shinola stores
oh, yeah?
in that area. And
that's great.
Wow, it's really expanding. And I'm not sure if it's because, yes, all those students are people that will buy things.
That's right.
Well, not much, but they, you know, depending on how much money they have behind them, becoming a student there. But if they live there in that area, it looks like they're definitely serving those folks. And it's really expanding as a second downtown almost, yet it's 10, 12 miles north.
Right.
Of what we used to call
yeah.
downtown. So it's all good. Now, if it just fill in the gap there between Midtown and downtown. And
right. Well, the Illich Project will help a little bit.
But there must have been some issue about, because I think our Craig Foran, who's editorial writer here on the Dearborn paper,
yes.
Who I had on the show a couple weeks ago for the first time, he called this a license to get drunk. Obviously, the teetotalers out there think it's kind of crazy. But I'm sure...
Well, it works in other communities, in states like...
I say other big cities.
Chicago.
Yeah, they do.
Instance.
That's what I figured. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So
Toronto, Chicago.
If people are picking a city to party in, and that's got to be a criteria. Can we drink until 4?
So right, right.
I doubt it. But anyway, it passed, you think?
No.
No, it didn't?
No, I did not.
Oh, I thought it did.
No.
Okay, not in the house. Okay.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Okay, well, maybe next year. Really, what I'm very upset about is the one that's so misnamed, Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Yeah.
And where is that at right now? First of all, the problem is it because one part of it, it's very ambiguous, but one part of it seems to say that if you don't like a person, because they don't quite agree with you, then it's your religious freedom that you can deny them service or help or
right.
or an apartment or whatever. That seems like it's so clear to me that that's going to be something that will lead to discrimination.
Right.
It's, for the slightest of reasons.
Yeah, and how do you, and nowhere in the bill did it describes what a religion is.
Well, even there.
Yeah.
Right.
So you can start your own religion tomorrow and just say, well, it's against my religious beliefs. That,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. yeah. And there's
yeah, I can't serve you or you
people
can't
may not
here.
Realize how many religions there are out there. They're actually incorporated, nonprofit even.
Yes.
You know, the religion of today. I think the Church of Today is still going on in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Out in Warren, I think. The Church of Today. Not tomorrow, right. only today.
And that also passed on party lines as well. Every Democrat voted against it, and every Republican voted for it. But they sent it over to the Senate, and the Senate has not taken it up. So again, in these last 3 days, the Senate could or may not. It's a Bolger bill. He wanted to make a final statement before he left, I think.
Well, I'm all for religious and freedom, but I think I'm more for freedom in general, freedom from religion even. Sorry, folks, but I mean freedom of practice, freedom not to practice. I thought that's one reason we set up America, was to have freedom of religion, but also freedom to practice religion in any way you see fit. And one way to do that, small r religion, might just be to be a good person.
Right.
My religion is being the best person I can be every day, not hurting anybody, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, so...
19 other states, I think, have passed it, so 31 have not, so...
Jeez. That's one of those things that Alec wrote, you think? Alec is the group, it's a front group, you know, the American Legislative something or other group, but they write bills and send them around to legislators,
yeah,
and it's a very conservative group.
Right.
Very conservative. It's not a Republican front. It's a conservative group.
It didn't come from any legislator here, I don't think. Right. I think it was sent out nationally and hoped that it would pick up some steam here.
Hmm. Okay. Well, too ambiguous. I mean, you've got to be careful as ambiguous. So just like the ones about the schools. I mean, if you can't pin it down, then there could be all kinds of havoc that will come from that. Or even just people taking it to court for 10 years.
Right.
Trying to figure out what it means.
Tying it up.
So it's not going to take effect anyway if
sure.
it's not more specific. Okay. Film producer subsidies, film production subsidies have been extended now.
Yeah.
At least in the House.
Well, it happened in both the House and the Senate.
Okay.
Yeah. And that actually it lifted the sunset because the sunset was going to go into effect in a couple of years.
Right.
Now it removes the sunset. So so that funding will be going.
Well, I did look at the details, and as a film person, knowing something about that, it's still Louisiana that has the best state subsidies for movies. And in fact, it is now the second biggest film producing state in the United States
after California, of course, and not after
Michigan.
Yeah.
But we're pretty close. There's a couple little, I mean, it talks about 25%, but there's a couple of extra little percentages that the state will pay for more Michigan involvement. And I forget what the details are, but I thought it could come to as much as 28%. So that's pretty close to Louisiana, actually.
Yeah.
And with this kind of run till, is it 20?
Well, now it's indefinite because we're removing the sunset.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just extended like 6 years or 7 years or something. No.
No, I thought this particular...
Oh, okay, good.
Removes the sunset.
See, if you don't ask your legislature, how will you know? because, well, my feeling is, and as I told you before, from somebody that knows the academic side and the inside of some of the business side of the film world, is these states need that incentive to get the facilities set up and well-respected. We've always had trained people here, but we need the organization here so that these film production people can feel they can come here and quickly do the things they need to do. Oh, I know part of it was there's an extra incentive in this bill for editing here in Michigan. So when they're done shooting, there's still about three more months of editing.
That's
and okay,
right.
That might only take maybe a dozen people, but sometimes they, at most, but they invite maybe the actors back to redo their lines or something a little bit. So it's not that much, but in fact, paying the fees of the editing facilities is significant. That's hundreds of dollars an hour at these professional facilities, and often a feature film takes 2 to 3 months, and sometimes longer even. And we've got some great facilities already, but just to make sure that they get the funding to expand and update and then get their name out there and well-known, having the extra, whether it's 6 years or indefinitely for this particular level of funding, this really should be the final test as to whether or not we want to continue it or not. Some people, of course, criticize this. Well, it's only good for the coffee shops when they're here shooting. You know, they get coffee and donuts every morning for the cast and crew.
Right.
Now, that's it's a lot more than that, really. But
once we establish ourselves as a motion picture state, others will come.
They'll come here for pre-production, which is like location scouting and planning sessions and working with the and choosing. They might a lot of these productions now are coming in with people from Hollywood.
Yes. I mean,
they're usually the main cinematographer is somebody they've. One of the big names from Hollywood, but they're coming in even with their makeup and their wardrobe people. We've got great people in those support services here in Michigan.
Yes.
And so with this kind of incentive, it may, once things get going, a couple more years of that same sort of solid funding, I think right now it might be sort of a break even. I mean, in the last year, we only had one picture, Batman and Superman, that was shot here. But now that this is consistent and that Sunset is not in the minds of these producers.
Right.
Then they can just jump at it, you know.
They
wouldn't plan something that's a 3-year project if they thought, well, Michigan's probably going to run out of money or they're going to stop it.
Yeah, it would have been 3 more years and that would have been it. And then they would have had to think, okay, now should we bother coming to Michigan?
You had to decide now. And
I'm glad we passed that.
Yeah, some incentives, maybe they don't work out. This has worked in many other states, and I think it can work for us, even if they have to cut back a little bit after it gets set up. But that might be another 5 years or more until things really get rolling here. They don't have to be number one. For a while, I know New Mexico was number one, and they offered the biggest incentives. And now they have great production facilities. Albuquerque is a center, and with Breaking Bad, just dropping names here, the TV series was shot there, and everybody raved about the quality of well, they don't have to be the number one in terms of incentives anymore because they've already got the reputation of great facilities, great people. And
like you said, we have the facilities too. The production studio in Pontiac is probably one of the best in the world. I mean, I had an opportunity to tour that. They filmed the Wizard of Oz movie there.
That was 2 years ago.
A couple years back. And they tell us that the facility there, they've got two that may be better. One, a Sony studio in Florida, and one in Budapest, Hungary, that was built by the same company that built the one in Pontiac.
Yeah.
And they've created artificial light there, artificial sunlight that hasn't never been produced before. So they can shoot indoors 12 months out of the year, and it looks like it's the sun from, the sky. So it's remarkable what they've done there.
Yeah, and that, again, that wouldn't have been possible without the incentives at the beginning, too.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, moving down the list, and I appreciate it if you can stay a few more minutes. You said a half an hour. You think it's okay?
All right.
I got a couple of big headlines at the end that maybe I'll toss in, so we'll see if we can wrap this up in about 10 minutes, George. Electoral College. Voting change. I went crazy on this, and when I heard about it, I said, well, that's a great idea. Proportion the electoral votes to the percent that they win. And then I realized a week later, thanks to Craig Foran pointing it out, that's a terrible idea because of gerrymandering.
Exactly.
It's set up so that a majority of those, wouldn't be the vote of the people of Michigan to support one candidate or the other.
Right.
It would have been the gerrymandered Republican-favored districts that get an elector sent to the Electoral College that, no matter how the majority of people in Michigan voted, they can vote according to, the party that appointed them, which would probably be Republicans.
Yes.
In this case, because we have these terrible gerrymandered districts. Although, I did blame the Democrats. I said if the Democrats were in power, you'd go crazy gerrymandering. Right on back, just to show that.
Well, as far as the state of Michigan is concerned, we haven't been in power since 1960s.
No, we haven't. So it's really badly gerrymandered. But now the computers are working against you, too. It's not just people thinking about where to draw the lines. It's the computers that do this.
Yes.
These crazy designs for a district border that can exactly favor the party programming the computer by one or two people. By the way they draw the lines.
Yes.
I hope the Democrats do get in the power, that there could be an independent group.
It's worked in other states.
Yeah,
right.
I know, but I think we probably would have needed a Michigan constitution change, which the voters said no to a few years ago, to set up an independent body that would draw up these guidelines based on, first of all, it has to be relatively contiguous areas. It can't be something crazy like going down an alley for 30 miles.
Right.
I understand there is some district now that just goes up and down Telegraph for 20 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. I mean, yes, there's Telegraph concerns by the people that live near there.
That's
I
right.
mean, the noise and the fumes and but and the businesses, but it's just so I mean, Jocelyn Benson, who of course ran mm-hmm. for as a Democrat for Secretary of State a few years ago, and mm-hmm. actually did better than Bonaro in terms of percent of
yes.
votes, but nonetheless, she's now the head of Wayne State Law School. She's
right.
the dean of their law school, and she's still involved in trying to get that kind of group, and she knows how that group should be constituted, really, as much as possible, an unbiased group, not Democrats, not Republicans, but
right.
like the people that live around a lake, then those lake concerns should be theirs. And, of course, the people of Dearborn, fairly large area, fairly large population, pretty much the whole city should have the same representative.
I think so.
You know, rather than a little portion skewing out 40 miles into the suburban area or the rural area.
Well, they did change that electoral college concept after it got into committee.
Oh,
so
okay.
The other bill was that the party that won majority would have got 9 votes, and then for every 1.5% more you got above the majority, you'd get another vote.
Yeah, I think that's just a little too crazy.
But still, it would have divided it. In the last election, Obama would have gotten 12 instead of 16.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
And the other 4 would have went to Romney.
Well, I've spoken on this show, too.
Yeah.
The answer is to somehow at the federal level get public popular election of the president.
Just absolutely.
Across the whole U.S., count every vote. 2 or 3 times if you have to, but count every vote and just figure out who won that way. That seems the Democratic way. And they say, well, not in the Constitution. Well, it wasn't in the Constitution to have a popular vote of senators either, or to give women the right to vote. Or there's a lot of things in the Constitution that really needed to be changed, or the slaves are represented, not because they can vote, but only 3/5 of the number of slaves you own can equal another person in your district to get a representative there. I mean, it's crazy. So a lot of things have to be changed in the original Constitution.
Yep.
Okay, moving on then. So is there any hope for those Electoral College changes? Probably
well,
not. It's a big deal.
Well, Bulger says it's dead.
Okay.
But the woman that came out of her committee, Representative Lyons, says, hey, anything can still happen. So I would say the chances are probably less than 10% that comes out.
What about the internet sales tax?
That's going to be discussed next week for sure. It did get voted out of the Senate.
Because as I see it, although this headline from MLive that I'm showing here from my printout says Amazon tax package, because Amazon is the biggest internet.
Right.
But the bill, HB 4202 and HB 4203, it says, amend the state sales tax to require out-of-state internet companies with warehouses or other physical presence in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Does Amazon have a warehouse or other physical presence in Michigan?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, yes.
Because I was thinking, why call an Amazon tax package if they don't have a warehouse?
No, they do. Yeah. So
if they move their warehouse to Ohio, like Toledo, then they would be out of this bill, right?
Well, if they and their employees and if there's no presence in the state of Michigan, then you wouldn't.
Well,
be taxed.
Some of them will play the game for that.
Yeah.
I don't see why that's. Well, they have to have some sort of Michigan connection. Otherwise, it had to be a federal law, probably.
Exactly. It's a federal law.
No, I mean, your law, though, is the Michigan law.
Right.
And to actually pass, all internet companies must pay tax. Oh, it's a question of tax to someone. I thought it would just be where their headquarters were, which state they were in, that they would pay tax there. But
no, it's not the headquarters.
Okay.
No.
And the fact that I just bought a Christmas present from England, I didn't pay any tax there, so this wouldn't affect them.
No.
Unless they had a physical presence in me.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. So
yeah,
I think maybe that'll happen. Okay. Well,
it might go. The Democrats are holding off their votes on that because we think they're going to be using that as a back way of filling in the money lost in the road funding.
Right.
Saying, well, see, we're going to pass this, and this will cover the school funding, and so you need to vote for this.
Oh, it's pretty hard to enforce, although somebody as big as Amazon, the state is going to say, okay, where's the money?
Yeah.
Because they say, we know you sold stuff in Michigan. We don't quite know how much, but I guess, are their books open? Are they a public company? Can you look in their books and see who bought stuff from them?
I think you can.
I mean, if the NSA can find out how much I bought from them, I would hope the state of Michigan could. But, one sweet woman says, she's Republican, I shop online a lot. I keep track of what I buy, and I remit the exact number of taxes I owe. Oh, sweet lady. Boy, very honest. But
not too many people are doing
that. No. And even in the state income tax law, there's a way you can do an estimated thing. But you have to say you didn't buy more than $1,000 or something. So $1,000 isn't what it used to be.
Yeah, we think we'll see that, Bill, next week, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. LBGT.
Yeah.
What's happening there?
Or
equity. I mean, we're postponing the same-sex marriage issue until there's federal rulings, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
there were two bills that we were going to be voting on, and actually Bolger's Religious Freedom Act bill was a counter to that. And that was the reason why it was brought up in the first place, was to counter the LBGT, which he said he would have gone for all the way up to the T. You know, LBG was okay, but the T, he didn't go for that at all. So that's when he said, if you do that or try to do that, then I'm going to do this religious freedom thing. But when those other two bills died, the LBGT bills died, he didn't stop his religious freedom one. He just kept going with that.
I think our listeners know that LGBT is lesbian, gay, and bisexual, and then transgender, people.
Right. Yeah. We've got House bills drafted by Democrats that would have included everybody, but the Republican Party wasn't interested in those bills.
Here's something Craig Ferrando went crazy about in the most recent editorial this week in the Dearborn Press and Guide. State education funding reform. No. Drug testing for welfare recipients.
Yeah, that was a bill that that would have made it random choosing of people to be tested if you were taking state money.
Right. And then Craig suggested there ought to be a bill saying that all state legislatures should be drug tested, too.
We asked for that amendment and did not get that amendment.
Yeah, he said he's all in favor of that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean...
Or corporate welfare, too, you know, the corporations that get money from the state.
And I know that just seems ironic or a little bit silly, but, you know, these things can go out of hand. Actually, there's so many people on welfare, and as you said, it wouldn't, at least at the beginning, it would only be a random sampling or a small test or
if you were
trial,
suspected,
but,
quote unquote, suspected already.
That sounds like an harassment tool there.
It does.
Yeah. Well, I hope that doesn't go anywhere. And you don't think it will?
No.
Okay. Nothing having to do with women's rights in terms of reproductive rights. I didn't see anything in the paper about anything that's close to being passed.
Well, there's two Senate bills that just got voted on yesterday that might come over to the House. Hmm. If you coerce somebody to have an abortion, then there will be penalties in jail time.
And, of course, they don't define coerce.
Right.
Right.
Right. Well, they kind of.
So even a Planned Parenthood suggesting it as an option might be considered by somebody coercion.
It could be, but it was mainly on the father of the child. If they can coerce the woman to have an abortion because they don't want to raise a kid.
I see.
Then there could be some problems there.
Yeah.
So there's two bills that came from the Senate. We haven't seen them in the House. We think we're going to see them next week.
Well, like they always said, you can't legislate morality. I really think that there's a line there that the legislature should not cross in terms of individual freedoms and personal rights. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm speaking libertarian-wise or populist-wise there, but that, you know, a lot of things are good ideas, but they shouldn't be made into laws. You probably agree. And you probably see an awful lot of things. We're not talking about things that haven't got out of committee yet.
Right.
I can only guess.
Oh, geez.
The wild range of suggestions. And it's only suggestions. I mean, it goes to committee to people talk about it, if they let you talk about it.
Right.
Okay.
But sometimes it gets discharged from the committees without anybody talking about
Finally,
it.
Finally, near and dear to my heart is, and I'm going to let you go just 2 minutes, George, and let you sum up maybe a holiday greeting, whatever. But what about any state education funding reform, this is for education from the state. One proposal from the Center for Michigan, Bridge People, is, it's a big deal, but maybe the school should get money where it's needed, not just per student. Nothing's happening that big.
No. Okay. We haven't seen anything.
What about teacher evaluation?
Well, we think it may be a dead issue now. It was actually passed in the House, but it didn't happen in the Senate. It still could be brought up again. They want to evaluate teachers based on 50% of the evaluation would be based on test scoring. And we don't think that's the proper way of doing it, you know, because you don't know what type of class you're receiving. You may be receiving, if you're a third grade teacher, your second grade class that you're getting may have failed miserably. And if they don't do a whole lot better in third grade, then you're going to 50% of your evaluation is going to be based on how they perform.
If there's going to be formal evaluations, they have to be probably representing a number of factors.
Right. And that could be one of them. And it is one of them already. But
Might have seen, I don't usually agree with the Mackinac Center, because they're a conservative think tank, and I call that an oxymoron, conservative think tank.
Okay.
But nonetheless, that's me. They actually have a way of ranking schools, charter and public, and because they actually factor in the economic level of the community.
Right.
They've actually found that a couple charter schools seem to be doing pretty good, like one out here in Dearborn Heights.
That's right.
They rank number one in the state.
You're right.
But I think they're on the right track, but they've got to go a lot further in terms of incorporating a lot more than just the test score. And tests are changing. It's going to be called something new, too.
Yeah, they haven't really decided yet.
Okay.
Yep.
What about this? I think it was passed. High school counselors have to receive special training or required to have special training so they can give appropriate advice about college.
Yeah.
First of all, I thought that's what high school counselors were supposed to. Well, they're going to solve problems you're having right then in high school.
Right.
But for me, the guidance counselor in my high school in the olden days, 50 years ago, but they primarily, from the seventh grade on, what college you're going to go to, what career you're going to go into, that they're all career and future oriented. Today, there's a lot of crises and problems and trouble with learning and stuff, and counselors are getting involved a lot more in those everyday issues.
Right.
But to require? Well, I would think they should have it, but isn't that about the school districts when they're hiring these people?
Absolutely.
Come on. It seems like that's one of the things they should be doing.
Right.
And they got to have some background or say appropriate things about college. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
So you didn't know where it was. You gave me a frown there. You didn't know where it was going.
I don't think it's going anywhere, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think it's needed.
It's an overreach by the state. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put on, believe it or not, folks, I've got a Christmas song here we're going to end with. No, not Christmas. December prayer. Okay, it's a prayer. Sorry. not supposed to have prayers in schools, but Idina Menzel. She has a new Christmas album. It's her only one, I think. Broadway vocalist. She was on Glee, you know, as Rachel's mother, if you watched that show originally. And it's really nice. And I'm going to be back for a final bye-bye. But, George, say some wonderful holiday wishes for the people.
Well, you know, it's the time of year that we're supposed to be thinking about others and helping others. So I'm hoping that's the Christmas spirit that we spread, the holiday spirit that we spread in the next week or so to help somebody else out, whether it be a neighbor or a friend or somebody maybe that you don't even know. But that's what I'd like to spread for the final 10 to 12 days here before Christmas.
Okay, George, and I get back to work. Good luck.
Thanks,
good
sir.
Luck. We'll talk to you next year, of course.
Coming home to his mother's grateful smile, in the sight of falling snow and the memories it brings, in the season when you find some peace, in the simple tender things. Open your heart. look around. Listen, listen. Hear the song within the silence. See the beauty when there's nothing there. Sing the song within the silence. That hope and love are everywhere. When the quiet night is falling, watch an angel dancing in the air to the song within the silence, a December prayer, a December prayer. Your hand as it holds on to mine, and the promise that we're not alone in this place and time. In the gifts that you give, I am humbled and amazed. Far beyond this day and time of year, we are in a state of grace. Listen, listen. Hear the song within the silence. See the beauty when there's nothing there. Sing a song within the silence. That hope and love are everywhere. And when the quiet night is falling, the song within the silence, a December prayer, a December prayer. Listen, listen.
This is WHFR, Dearborn. Got a few more minutes as Joanne is getting set up for Highway 61, the Best in the Blues show, starting up very, very shortly. Just a few headlines here to give you as a continuation of our local news and alternative views. And I know the podcast is going to go off, but that's okay because some of these events are happening right away. For example, Holiday Nights begins at the Henry Ford, Greenfield Village, also known as Greenfield Village, tonight. Okay.